Going to the book of Romans this morning for our study. Romans chapter 5. We want to read again, verse 6 through verse 11. Had a good reading of that earlier. I want to put that text before your mind this morning because it is from verse 8 and 9 that we're going to take our study and our subject. In Romans chapter 5, and reading from the New King James Version, Romans 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were without strength. We had no power within ourselves, no ability within ourselves to bring about our own salvation. So in the process of time and in the proper season in which God desired to bring about man's salvation, Christ died for us, on our behalf, for our sake. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, scarcely. Very rarely would one die for a righteous man. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But it wasn't that we were righteous. It wasn't that we were good that Christ died for us. No, it's because we were sinners. But God demonstrates His love toward us, shows His love toward us, makes known His love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us on our behalf, for our sake. Not while we were righteous, not while we were good in the sight of God, but while we were sinners. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, come on friendly terms with Him, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our subject and our theme this morning. First of all, we want to note that being justified by the blood of Jesus Christ suggests there is a divine purpose for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ for us on our behalf. What it suggests is that we are justified, pronounced righteous or declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. So our text tells us that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that that comes about. It is by the agency of the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf that that comes about. Jumping back in the context, in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Note the death of Christ. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The death of Christ and the blood of Christ. I want to suggest to you, we'll see this later on in our lesson, these two simply cannot be separated. There is no justification of man from his sin without the death of Christ. There is no justification from man without the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the death of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ can't be separated from man's justification or salvation before God. This justification, again, justification simply means that we're acquitted. We're acquitted of our sins. As God is our judge, He declares then and pronounces us just or righteous in His sight, justified in His sight. It has always been that blood was the element that has always been connected with the forgiveness of man's sins. It's always been that case for a long period of time in the history of mankind. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 4 and verse 4, Cain and Abel, remember, in this chapter, were evidently commanded by God to bring a sacrifice for themselves before God. Abel, of course, in Genesis 4 and in verse 4, brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. What kind of offering was it? A live animal? No. The offering was the offering of a blood sacrifice on this occasion. So God has always required blood to bring about the justification or the salvation of man. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 9 and in verse 13, regarding the sanctification of man, you might say the cleansing or setting apart man from his sins under the old law. On the Day of Atonement every year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and take the blood of bulls and then the blood of goats and sprinkle on the mercy seat to access the mercy of God on man's behalf to bring about the forgiveness of his sins under the law of Moses. The Hebrew writer reminds us of that in Hebrews 9 and verse 13 when he says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh or the cleansing of the flesh." He goes on to make a contrast between the blood of Christ. But under the old law, every year on the Day of Atonement, the blood of bulls and the blood of goats were taken into the Holy of Holies, and atonement for the sins of man was made. And thus the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 9 and verse 22 in regard to that, "And according to the law," that is law of Moses, "almost all things are purified or cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins." So God has always had in His mind to use blood as the element in which He was going to bring about the justification of mankind. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is shed for the remission of our sins. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 11, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, we see that when the children of Israel were brought out of Egyptian bondage, they were brought out by a blood sacrifice. They were liberated and set free from their Egyptian bondage by the blood that was offered. In Exodus 12 and verse 11, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover," the Passover lamb. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Know this, and when I see the blood," sometimes, I don't remember us singing it any time recently, but "when I see the blood," remember that in a song? "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." When God would strike the land of Egypt, bring about the death of all firstborn, the houses that had the blood applied on the doorpost and lintel of houses, God would see and He would pass over that house. That is, no death would occur in that house. But only if they applied the blood. So again, the liberation and freedom for them and life came about on this occasion by having the blood applied. That is, physical life, by having the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the houses. The blood of Jesus then justifies us of our sin. We come to the New Testament, in which blood still has a prominent place in God's scheme to bring about the salvation or justification of man. In Matthew 26 and in verse 28, in Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Just as the old covenant was ratified and verified by the blood of animals, so the new covenant, the New Testament, has been validated, verified, and ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no New Testament. There is no new covenant. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd be living under the old covenant, the law of Moses. But the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for, in order to, bring about the remission of man's sins. It is indeed the blood that was shed to bring about the justification of man. The blood of Christ was also for the purpose of purchasing the church. Acts 20 and verse 28. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. And Miletus said, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops to shepherd the church of God. Note this, which he purchased with his own blood. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sins. He shed his blood for, in order to bring about the remission of sins. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no new covenant. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no church, because the blood of Christ purchased the church. That is, each individual who makes up the church has been acquired. You might say it was the purchase price of each one of us. Tells us how precious and how valuable the blood was.
Amen.
1 Peter 1 and in verse 1, Peter said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, you were not redeemed. Here we learn in this passage that liberation or redemption comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word redeemed here has reference to one being liberated and set free from their sin. It's another way of saying that one receives the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Being redeemed has reference to being liberated and set free. As the children of the Old Testament scriptures in the land of bondage, in the land of Egypt, were set free or redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, so we, children of God, have been redeemed, set free and liberated from our sins, not with corruptible things, not with things that are perishable, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious or valuable blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So he brings in the ideal of the Passover lamb there, and the blood that was sacrificed on that occasion to bring about the liberation or freedom from those of Egyptian bondage. So we have the same figure here. The liberation and freedom of the child of God has been provided by or through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ was also shed for the continuous cleansing of the child of God. 1 John 1 and in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Remember, God is light. Back in verse 5. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Who's the fellowship with? Us and God. That is, we have a relationship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Speaking of the child of God, it is a continuous cleansing based upon our condition of walking in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? Light is revelation. That is, we walk in the revelation of his word, in the light of his word. His word directs us, shows us which way to go in this life. And so as long as we walk in the light, live and conduct ourselves in harmony with the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us of our sins. That doesn't exclude, of course, confessing our sins, repenting of our sins. If we do those things, we're walking in the light. We're living, conducting ourselves in harmony with the word of God. In Hebrews 9, in verse 28, the writer of Hebrews said, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. He was offered once. The little word once there means one time for all times. That is, he shed his blood one time for all times. There will not be another shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It has taken place one time for all times. So we see that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be justified, pronounced and declared righteous before God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we can continue in that state if we walk in the light. It'll never happen again. Those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin. Not for the purpose of bringing about the remission of sins. That's not what he's going to do when he comes back. But for, in order to salvation, that is, in order to eternal salvation. He provides salvation by the blood that he shed on the cross, and we can partake of that salvation today in Christ. But when he appears a second time, It will not be for the purpose of bringing about initial salvation. It will be for the purpose of bringing about eternal salvation. For in order to eternal salvation. Thus we see that the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ is of utmost importance. Well, how is it that man comes to appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ? If Jesus shed His blood to bring about our justification, that is, so God could acquit us of our sins, so He could forgive us of our sins, so He could pronounce us right or just in His sight, if the blood of Jesus Christ provides that, how do we appropriate that for ourselves? That's a good question. In Romans 3 and in verse 24, note this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now there's a lot in the book of Romans. Romans 3 and verse 24, note this. We just saw earlier in chapter 5 and verse 9 that we're justified by the blood of Christ. But note this, being justified freely by His grace. So now we're justified by the grace of God. Which is it? By the blood of Christ or by the grace of God? By both. It was by the grace of God that He gave His only begotten Son, that we can have life in Him. So it is by the grace of God, but it's also by the blood of Christ. Being justified freely by the grace of God, note this, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. Liberation and freedom from sin. That's what's under consideration. But where's that liberation and freedom from sin found? It's found in Christ Jesus. Now the point of reading this passage is to determine how it is that we can be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. How it is we can appropriate that for ourselves and thus be declared or pronounced righteous or just in the sight of God. Note this, verse 25, Romans 3. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. So God set forth Jesus Christ as a propitiation by His blood. Propitiation simply has reference to a sacrifice. A sacrifice that seeks to access the mercy of God. It's like the sacrifice in the Old Testament scriptures. The blood of bulls and goats were sprinkled on the mercy seat. That blood of bulls and goats sought to access the mercy of God on the people of Israel's behalf, that they might be atoned for their sins. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He is the sacrifice by which we access God's mercy in the forgiveness of our sins. So note that, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. But how is Christ set forth as a sacrifice by which we can access God's mercy? By His blood. Note this, through faith. That's how we access. We access the mercy of God in the forgiveness of our sins, and we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith. But some will read this and they say, well, it's just through faith only. You know, they think they get on the road to salvation and they come to believe and they think that they've reached their eternal destination through faith only. Remember, their eternal destination is salvation. But when they've come to faith, many believe that they've reached their destination. But that's just not so. As a matter of fact, a lot of the denominational world talks about the road of salvation in the book of Romans. And they see that road of salvation as just faith. And they think that when they've come to believe that, well, they've reached salvation. Well, think about that. When they've come to believe, if they've reached salvation, that means they've reached the blood of Christ, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ by which we're justified. So if they reach the blood of Jesus Christ by faith only, they've reached salvation. But not so. You know, if you were going to Jackson, Mississippi, and You travel down 55 and you got to Batesville, Mississippi. You couldn't say you've reached Jackson. You're not there yet. And when you come to faith, you're not there yet. Romans 3, verse 24, 25 again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, note this, that is in Christ Jesus. So if redemption or liberation from our sin is found in Christ Jesus, and when we're liberated and set free from our sin, God declares us, pronounces us righteous or just in His sight. That's what justification is, being pronounced just, righteous in the sight of God. We must be in Christ Jesus, but not through faith only. Whom God set forth as propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Acts 2 and verse 38, we learn that through faith only one has not reached salvation. One has not reached his relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Christ yet. One has not reached the realm in which he finds redemption yet. Because we learn in Acts 2 and verse 38 that they were told to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so, we see that faith only doesn't bring about the justification of man by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because on this occasion, Peter didn't tell those on the day of Pentecost, well, you seem to have believed that you've crucified the long-awaited Messiah, Christ, the Son of God. Since you believe that, there's nothing else for you to do. You've reached salvation. You're in Christ. You've been justified by His blood. No, Peter told them to repent and to be baptized. So we see that they haven't reached the realm of redemption. They haven't reached the realm by which the blood is able to justify them yet. On this road to salvation, on this road to justification, they have to go through repentance. Just as you go to Jackson, you have to go through Grenada if you're going down 55. When you get to Grenada, you haven't reached Jackson yet. And so they had to repent. And it is in baptism then, when one appropriates for himself salvation or justification by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is it in baptism? Because in baptism you reach the death of Christ. Remember at the first part of the lesson I said you can't separate the death of Christ from the blood of Christ? Think about it. In John 19 and verse 31, therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. What's the significance of that? In the death of Christ, he shed his blood. He was dead. He was already dead. I hope you understand that. He was dead. And he shed his blood in his death. In order for us to appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ, in order for us to be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be baptized. If we're going to reach the realm where the blood was, we have to be baptized in His death. Romans 6 and in verse 3. And do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Why are we baptized into His death? Because that's where He shed His blood. Now think about it. I said you can't separate the death of Christ from the blood of Christ. You know, we often think about baptism being immersed in water. But we're not really immersed in the blood, but we're immersed in the water, but you might say we're immersed in the blood because we're immersed or baptized into His death. Just as Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. When? When we're baptized into His death. Because that's where His blood is. That's where His blood washes away our sins. Thus, in our sins being washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're justified by His blood. That is, God pronounces us righteous. He declares us to be righteous and right in His sight. Why? Because we've traveled the road of salvation through faith. We believed, we repented, and we were baptized for the remission of our sins. We've reached the destination of salvation from our sins. Thus, we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. How important is it, therefore, to be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? Without the blood of Jesus Christ, bring about your justification. There is no salvation from sin. There is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. That's just how important it is to be justified by the blood. Again, a lot of the denominational world believes they're justified by faith only. That is, they believe and God pronounces them just or righteous in His sight. Not true. You're going to have to appropriate the blood, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that justifies. It is the faith that obeys that justifies. Amen. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. What did we read earlier? Redemption is in Christ. Liberation and freedom from sin is in a relationship with Him. And when we get in a relationship with Him, we've been forgiven of our sins. That's how important the blood of Jesus Christ is. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is simply no remission of your sins. Without you appropriating that blood on your behalf, there is no remission of sin. Christ shed His blood for all men. He died for all men. But all men are not saved. Why? Because they'll not do what is necessary to appropriate the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ for them. It's just that important. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no church. He purchased the church with His own blood. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In Matthew 26 and in verse 28 again, for this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the New Testament. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are still under the old covenant. We're still under the Old Testament. The blood of Jesus Christ ratified and verified God's word for us. And thus, the new covenant provides for us the means by which we can access the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by being baptized for the remission of our sins. It is only by that we can be called the children of God. And so He calls you to come. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Why? Why come to Me? Why will the Lord say, come to Me? Because that's where salvation is found, in Him. Again, if you want to go to Jackson, you've got to pass through several cities to get there. Can't go to Him just by faith only. Can't go to Him just by repentance only. Some people think, well, I've changed my life. It's a change of life for the better. But if it's not a change of life that's been brought about by obedience and faith through baptism, though your life may have been changed, your state is still the same. You're still in the same condition before God. So you're going to have to go through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Come to Me. When you come to Him in total obedience to His Word, you can reach the blood of Jesus Christ by being baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, we encourage you to become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and you're a child of God, you have sin in your life, remember, the blood of Jesus Christ will still justify you if you continue to walk in the light. Repent of that sin, confess that sin, live daily in obedience to His will. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that's been selected.